So I have a question. How many of us have ever fallen before? You know, like tripped down the stairs, stumbled all over our own feet, tripped over an extension cord, yada yada. I'm not speaking from any personal examples, I promise. Now, after you fall, you're laying there, you're laying on your back, might have fallen flat on your face, and you're just sitting there for a minute. And the question might have popped into your mind, why don't I just stay here for a minute? Why don't I just sit here where I am, let the pain subside for a minute, just ignore it, just ignore the pain, ignore what just happened, and just stay where I am? Now, how about we flip that into a spiritual sense? How many of us in our lives have fallen into sin, have fallen into temptation, and once we get there, once we hit the bottom and realize what we're doing, we're just like, oh, why don't I just stay here for a minute, just ignore what happened, shove it to the side, ignore it, the pain will go away, it'll be done. Why not get up? That's the question tonight. Why not get up? If you will turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, you see, I've dialed it down to two reasons on why we should get up. To those of us that have believed in Christ, I've dialed it down to two reasons. One, hope, and the second is fear. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses, we'll start in verse 7. I'll read through verse 9. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Right there, we got both. First, we have knowledge. We have hope that we will be with our brethren when that day comes. We'll be surrounded in love. We'll be with each other. And then we have the fear. Fear of, oh, I don't want to be as they are. Those who are disobeying our Lord. Those who are going to be, as it says here in verse 9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of our Lord. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Rather, I'll start in verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. We have hope right there and more fear. If we are going against what God is saying, if we decide to just sit there after our fall, after our tumble down the stairs and sit there and let's just say, oh, let's just let the pain subside. Let's just say in our sin, the embarrassment, the pain will go away. Ignore it. Where does it say in the scriptures? Where does it allow that in the scriptures? Let's go to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, just to tack that on a little bit. Proverbs chapter 30. Verses 5. And 6. Proverbs 30:5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. If we stay in our sin, stay on the ground after we fall, not get up and deal with the consequences, go back into, as it says in verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield. Not put our trust, not going back and putting our trust in our Lord, letting him be our shield from this world. What does it say he will call us? And we are adding to his words by saying it is fine for us to stay in our sin. It says there that we will be called a liar. It said back in Galatians chapter 2, the end in verse 21 there, that Christ died in vain if we do not stay in our faith in Christ. Let's go to Psalm. That scripture that was read recently, the Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 113 through 120. I'm going to read that really quick again. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgment. If we put our hope, if we put our faith in our word and in his and in our Lord and in his words, keep in mind that we have the fear because of the fear of those judgments. As it said back in 2 Thessalonians, as it said back in Galatians, as it said back in Proverbs, the everlasting destruction. Our word being called a liar. I'm sorry. Us being called a liar. Our Lord dying in vain. So now I ask the question, once we have fallen down, once we have fell down our metaphorical stairs or jumped into our metaphorical hole that we dug ourselves, how do we get back up? How do we get back up? Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I'm not going to, as much as I would love to read the entirety of Ephesians chapter 5, I don't think we have the time for that. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And then, verses 3 through 21, if we stick to what verses 1 and 2 in chapter 5 says there, if we continue to be imitators of our Lord, follow verses 3 through 21, which verses 3 through 7 tells us to stay, what to stay away from. Tells us very clearly what to stay away from. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, for it is not fitting for saints, as it says right there in verse 3. But going to verse 8 through 14, I'll read that really quick. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. If we stay away, after we fall, once we realize that we are in sin, once we are ready to put everything away, we must drop it all. Drop all covetousness, all hiding, all lying, all secrecy, all sin, drop it. That's the first step. You got to put down that metaphorical shovel, and you got to climb out of that hole that you dug. And then after that, you got to fill in that hole. You have to sit there and fill in that hole, as it says in verses 15 through 21 there. That's what you are supposed to continue to do. That is what you fill your life with. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of our Lord. You stay among your brethren. You let them reach out their hand to you, help you fill in that hole. And you continue on. In Hebrews chapter 12, that scripture that we've read recently. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 11. I do want to read that one more time. I love this scripture. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Not be discouraged, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Yes, it is going to hurt after we fall and after we get up. It is going to hurt. We are going to be embarrassed. We are going to be in some sort of pain. But don't ignore it. Don't just sit there and lay in your sin. Don't just sit there and ignore what you have done. Get up. And then you keep going. You continue in the law of the Lord. You love his word. As it said in Ephesians 5, we continue to be imitators of our Lord. We walk as he walked. And we put away those covetous things. Now here's my last question to you all. Why get up? Why bother with it? And why stay? Why should we stay up? Why shouldn't we just continue to dig our own holes or continue to fall down and stay down? Why should we stay up? Let's go to Matthew. Let's read that verse again. I don't know about you guys, but every time I read this scripture, it always puts a smile on my face. It always puts a smile in my heart. Matthew chapter 8. Uh-oh, I lost it. One second. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There will. It puts a smile in my heart knowing that those of us who follow in faith, who follow our Lord in hope, we'll get to meet all of those people one day. Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, David, Paul. All those people that ever since we were yay high have been hearing about from the scriptures, have been learning about. Could you imagine sitting down and having a conversation with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Do you imagine sitting down and having a real conversation with Paul, the writer of a majority of the New Testament? Or how about David, who slew Goliath, him telling us his stories of his adventures as a king, of his own falsehoods and of his own disobedience, and yet how he got back up, why he got back up. That's always stood out to me. That's always, cannot think of the word. We stay up. We should stay up for that hope. For that hope that each one of us will get to go to heaven one day. We'll get to sit with our God. We'll get to sing and worship our God for all of eternity. We should fear staying down. We should fear staying in our sin. Maybe tonight, brethren, you have fallen. You have taken your metaphorical jump into your own hole. I want you to look around. Everybody in this auditorium. Your elders, Obed, you can go to them. Let them reach out a hand and help you back up. Or maybe you haven't put on Christ at all. Maybe everything that I just spoke of completely confused you. And you're like, who is Christ? Who are these people that we're supposed to, or that we will get to sit with one day in heaven? Once again, come to us. We will show you. We will teach you. Do not leave this building with a single question in your heart or in your mind. Now, if you do wish to respond to the gospel, or if you have fallen, please let us help you get back up. Now, won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing?